One of the positives in this pandemic lockdown has been more people getting outside where it's permitted to exercise, take in the fresh air, perhaps notice some of the more amazing interactions and behaviours in our natural world. The old saying is taking time to stop and smell the roses. But what's really happening right now goes way beyond that. There's been a global explosion in citizen science, and people of all ages, cultures and countries are bombarding researchers with enormous amounts of new data, images and reporting that could really pave the way for species protection and even some new discoveries. My first guest is the CEO of an Australian company behind a free citizen science app called Questergame. And the amount of information coming through Questergame just during lockdown has jumped by 700%. Brenda Foley, welcome to Life Matters.
Hello, Michael. How are you going?
I'm good. Now, Brenda, I understand you've just been using Questergame in a global BioQuest with people from something like 40 countries. What is a BioQuest?
Well, each year we run a global competition, and that includes universities, schools, general, any everyday players, groups or environmental groups, for example. People get involved to compete globally to map biodiversity. It tends to get a lot of attraction, and people get very excited about it. And you know, countries can battle off really compared to see who has the most bio-rich area.
And this is at the heart of Questergame, isn't it? Because if you gamify the data collection of the natural world, then people love that competitive edge.
Yes, well, the company's name's Earth Guardians, and what we like to do is lead the tech world in citizen science and outdoor gaming. So we feel like we've gamified that citizen science, and it tends to be working. It's been growing in popularity as players experience that connection to nature, but also a larger involvement in an important mission to protect life on Earth.
And Brenda, where does all this amazing data collated through the game go? Where does it end up?
Yeah, so all of our data goes through to SARO's Atlas of Living Australia and also to the Global Biodiversity Information System, GBIF. So it all ends up in that source where people can go through and download that data.
And if people are thinking, oh, that sounds really lovely for young kids who want to get involved and get their hands dirty and be interacting with nature, what a lovely thing. This has really got some serious results coming out of this kind of approach.
Absolutely. Like you said in your original introduction there, we have had a huge increase in users. It's not just kids. We actually probably have a largest player audience of more young adults and older adults. But including that, we especially have a lot of parents who want to encourage their family to get outdoors, have a great, you know, family activity that they can do and engage in nature, and at the same time develop eco-literacy skills. So it has been endorsed through schools and universities and is used in class-based assessments. But I think the actual drive towards being connected to nature probably comes more from the adults of the world.
And the whole aim of this is to develop widespread across all ages eco-literacy. Is that right?
Yes. So you can't protect what you don't know. There was a lovely quote from Peter Drucker, which is you can't manage what you can't measure. So if you know what is there, then you have the ability to be able to make those right decisions and make sure that if you have good quality biodiversity data that's complete, then you have a much greater picture of what is happening on the land. So, you know, there's been some large events that have happened in Australia, but we also have disasters happening across the globe that can displace species or put extra pressure on species. But if you don't know what was there before, then you can't actually do much about knowing where they might go to find refuge or how to make good conservation decisions about that.
Hence eco-literacy being so vital. And in fact, this message has done so well, as I mentioned in that introduction, you've had to change your computer systems just to manage the load of data coming in, haven't you?
Yes, we've had to do a number of server upgrades. Yeah, just to be able to, you know, manage the user base, because it is a game, and we find that gamifying citizen science actually enables people to stay engaged longer. They're rewarded. They feel like they're on a journey. And when we say, you know, eco literacy, improving eco literacy, we actually have built into the game expertise levels. So as the players are playing, taking photos, helping to identify species, capturing species, we also have a really unique augmented reality section of the game, which you can hold up your phone and you can see where other people have tagged species around you, and you can capture those species and then earn gold from that by identifying them within 20 seconds. So this all comes down to data quality, and also making sure that as the citizens out there, everybody has the opportunity to contribute and add value to that data.
Well, Brenda Foley, one of the participants in Quester Game is with us as well. Lauren Burns is an engineer by trade. She volunteers for the Australian Conservation Foundation, who have joined up with Quester Game for a campaign we can all get involved with coming up on Friday. We'll tell you more about that in a moment. But Lauren's been using the Quester Game app during lockdown, and she's with us from regional Victoria. Hi, Lauren.
Oh, g'day.
Lauren, how does an engineer by trade wind up taking photographs and recording data of the natural world? Do tell.
Oh, very interesting story. So I started using Quester Game in March, just after the lockdown hit. And so I guess, like many people, I was a bit bored, and I found that just going on long walks in nature was a real refuge for me from the isolation.
Mm-hmm.
So I was just looking for something that I could do that was interesting and fun, and that could help conserve nature in return.
And what have you discovered?
Yeah, so I live in a coastal town in Victoria, and been pretty amazed at what I've found just even in my own backyard. So I guess the best sighting I've had at home has been an echidna that came by to visit. But there's also been lots of interesting birds like eastern spinebills and firetails. And with the autumn rain we've just had, I found there's been a lot of fungi just popping up in the backyard. So I was one of the things I learned from Australian Conservation Foundation was that almost 50% of Australia's threatened species actually live in towns and urban areas. So, yeah, there might be something really interesting in just in your own backyard. You never know.
You never know. And, Lauren, in fact, you didn't know what some of these fungi were, so you sent off photographs through the Quester Game app to the bevy of scientists that work in the background of the app. And what did you discover?
Yeah, that's one of the things I really like about Quester Game, is that you can upload sightings even if you're not sure what it is. And then when it gets ID'd, then you get to learn something. So, yeah, it's kind of a fun activity, you know, for adults or kids. And I won't attempt to pronounce the scientific name of the fungi, but yeah, that's something that, you know, I wasn't aware of, that's kind of increased my awareness.
Well, look, one of the other participants in this whole venture over some time now is a young bloke from Brisbane, and he has his own YouTube channel where he takes us on journeys of discovery. Here's an example.
We all know the many roles that harm not terror, which includes bees and wasps, play in the environment, such as decomposition, pollination and pest control. But I think the most important ant member of the order is Formicidae, or the ants.
That's about it for now. Hope you liked our video. I hope you see lots of ants if you try out this technique.
Now, online he calls himself Grisper, and he couldn't be with us today, but Brenda Foley, tell us the story of Grisper and this grasshopper he discovered.
Yes, well, Grisper, he's an amazing, amazing kid. Not that, you know, not all kids are, but he just has this really fun and unique way of you know,
he is obsessed. Let's be honest. Yeah. He is completely obsessed. Yes.
And he keeps it light. He keeps it interesting, and he has a great way of engaging adults and kids. So that's really, really cool. The grasshopper that he took a photo of a grasshopper, and it turns out to be the first photo recorded of the female of that species
ever in the world.
So yes. So. So that was pretty remarkable, and he has a great visual memory and a real passion for animals. So I think whether he knew that or not, I'm not sure, but he was very, he had a great photo that came through. So that photo now has experienced some attention from a university in Germany who is very keen on CRISPR or being a co-author on that paper. So
this German university loved the photo because, as you said, it's a world first of the female of the species. They get in touch with QuestaGame to say, hi, we'd like to co-author with the person who took this photograph. Did they know that CRISPR was 11 years old?
No, they had no idea. He was actually 9 when he made the original observation. So they thought that was... They were stunned and also delighted, but it's been a great experience. It's probably still under wraps, the whole paper and everything like that. But
your secret's safe with us, Brenda. No one is going to know that we've spoken about it. I promise.
That's
it's only
right.
National radio. Yeah.
Wink, wink. Yes. So it's just a really great example of that. You know, we're actually helping to create scientists today, not waiting for kids to grow up to be scientists of tomorrow. It's just we need it to be more holistic and across the board, and there's so much value that all ages can give to the protection of biodiversity.
Well, so saying on that, Lauren Byrne, you're involved as the Australian Conservation Foundation volunteer with a campaign that is launching this coming Friday, because that Friday marks the UN's International Day for Biological Diversity. And QuestaGame and I think another app as well are involved in this ACF campaign called Nature Near You. Do you want to tell us what's going on?
Yeah, so like you said, on Friday we're launching a 2-week challenge to discover as many plants and animals living around you as possible. It's something that this challenge you might want to take on with friends or family. It's called Nature Near You. So anyone who enjoys nature or who's already on the QuestaGame app, we invite them to join in. And if you want to sign up, just go to our ACF website, which is acf.org.au.
And we've got a link. Page. Oh, good. We've got a link on our Life Matters page as well.
Oh, fantastic. And it's called Nature Near You Challenge. So, please join up. And like Brenda said, you'll be amazed at what you find when you start looking.
And you don't have to go to the jungles of Ecuador for this. You can just be wandering around in your own space, being, you know, safe in terms of physical distancing. And that's the whole point of doing it right now, isn't it?
Yeah, that's right. It's actually a great way to connect with people digitally through uploading your sightings, sharing your sightings. So it's open to anyone in Australia, so it's not limited by geography. And even if you don't have a backyard, you know, you can... look at attracting moths to your window, or you can have a little planter box on your balcony. It's really open to anyone, and it's as was mentioned, it's like having this like mini army of like thousands of field scientists, and it's a really tangible way to actually help conserve Australia's unique wildlife. So it's not just kind of fun and connecting with family, but you also making a substantial contribution.
And you get to play a game as well, which is kind of cool. So there's so many reasons to get involved with this. Lauren Byrnes, Brenda Foley, it's been great to speak to both of you. Thanks very much indeed.
Thanks, Michael.
Thank you, Michael.
Brenda Foley, CEO of Earth Guardians, which is the organisation or business behind QuestaGame, the science app, used in universities and schools and, in fact, around the globe. And Lauren Byrnes, an engineer by trade but an Australian Conservation Foundation volunteer and also a QuestaGamer in her own right.